To be with you all today. I enjoyed seeing the pictures up there. I can neither confirm nor deny that I was a human pinata on Friday night, and my job was to distribute candy to all the children, and you all donated very generously, and I had a lot of product to move that night. So I was extremely generous. You would have been proud if you had seen me. There were times I was liberal in my handing out of candy. So if your child has a stomach ache or has a lot of candy, you have me to thank for that. People saw my human pinata costume and said, are you post-it notes? Are you carpet samples? What are you? And I had, no, I'm a pinata. And so you whack me with a pinata, you know, we had an inflatable bat at times, and then I distribute the candy. That's how that works. So thanks for everyone who served. Anytime you have an event of that magnitude, you want to single people out and say, thanks to these people. I'm going to leave out a bunch of people, but I just do want to say thank you to the church and those who served and came. Some of you, I was encouraged by a couple things. One is classes serving together, groups serving together. It's awesome when two or three people from a class or group get together. We had some classes and groups that everybody was there. It's awesome. Really, really cool that you guys were serving together. I was also really, really encouraged by you guys doing what we said to do. You invited people. Right? So that's really fun. And some of you said, hey, we invited people and they really, really enjoyed it. That's really, really good news. That's why we do it. Now, this Friday is what? There's not a World Series game. It's Halloween. Is this Friday? Some of you say and have asked me, and Steve, why don't we do Family Fun Night on Halloween? That would be great. No, it wouldn't be great. Because where do we want you on Halloween? We want you at home. What do we want you doing? Doing whatever it is that enables you to love people around you. Wouldn't that be awesome? To just, whether it's handing out candy, but why not pull out your grill and grill some hot dogs? Why don't you invite some neighbors to come and do something together with you? That would be awesome. Last year we grilled some hot dogs and didn't have a lot of people came, so we ate a lot of hot dogs for a while. We invited people. We're on a cul-de-sac, so people don't know like that we're there. But daylight savings time will not have ended this Friday, so hopefully we'll still have like a little bit of daylight. We put up the Charlie Brown Halloween Great Pumpkin movie and showed it on the projection screen and stuff. You guys do whatever you need to do to build relationships with people around you. That would be awesome. That's what we want you doing. Don't come up here. Be in your neighborhood and love those around you. Now, today we're talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm excited about that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit this week and next. And I'm going to ask you to open up your Bible to what book? No, the book of John. We're going to look at the book of John. We're just going to take a break from Acts for just a little bit. But in order to understand Acts, we've been doing a series in the book of Acts. In order to understand Acts, you have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't heard a lot of sermons recently about the Holy Spirit. Whenever I do, there's always some tension in the room. And there's always some people going, oh, okay. And because many of us, let's be honest, we understand the idea that God is our Father. I'm a father. I have children. I love my children. Okay, that makes sense to me. God's a father. And we have God the Son. Okay, I'm a son. I have two sons. I understand that whole thing. Who's the Holy Spirit? And some people, if you read the King James Version, talk about the Holy Ghost. And so we're kind of weirded out by that whenever people start talking about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. We're going to, in order to understand Acts, we have to understand what Jesus shared about who the Holy Spirit is and who he would be. And we're going to talk about those things here today. So we're going to look at the book of John, chapters 14 and 16. So put your finger there, John chapter 14 and chapter 16. I want you to imagine with me, what if you were to have been born on a desert island and you grew up on a desert island, separate from contemporary church culture, and all you had on this desert island was a Bible to read? What if you had grown up on this desert island, you have this Bible to read, and you read the Bible, and you're there for years, and then somebody comes and rescues you, and then they bring you to North America, and you get invited to come to a typical evangelical church like this, and you walk in. What would your emotions be? What would your experience be? Many of us would leave asking a question because we would have only read the scriptures outside the context of contemporary Christian culture. We would leave a church service very often going, Where's the Holy Spirit? But then maybe you get invited by some people to go out for lunch, and you hang out with them, and you follow some Christ followers around to their jobs and their families, and you watch them for a week, and then you ask the same question, where's the Holy Spirit? You see, the Holy Spirit's talked about all throughout Scripture, more than 800 times. Even the second verse of the Bible, people, the Holy Spirit's in the Old Testament, yes. The very second verse of the Bible, the creation, the Holy Spirit is present there. And all throughout Scripture, the book of Acts alone, the Holy Spirit's mentioned 57 times. The Holy Spirit was actively involved in the Scriptures. And you would know that there, over time, seems to be an increasing gap between what the Scriptures say the Holy Spirit's role is, and then what most of us tend to operate and experience on a day-to-day basis. So we're going to talk about why that might be. But we're also going to get to the core of who is the Holy Spirit, what is his role, what is his purpose. And the next week, we're going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit and what that means. Yes, we're going to go to those topics. I'm excited about that. So John chapter 14, we're going to take a look here. This is Jesus hanging out with his followers, having a final meal with them. This was not one of the greatest moments in their lives. Judas, one of the 12, had just been pointed out to be a traitor, a Benedict Arnold. And so he leaves the room, and he's going to go betray Jesus and hand Jesus over to the authorities. You have Peter, another one of the 12 followers at the meal, who says that he'll follow Jesus anywhere, and yet Jesus says, no, you will publicly deny me three times. So you got that going on. Then you have the other followers who are there, who are being hunted down by the religious authorities. They're worried about their lives and their livelihood. They're hunting down Jesus. And then on top of this, Jesus then drops this bombshell. Oh, by the way, I'm leaving. Not one of the greatest moments in their lives. They're not doing well. And that's the setting of where we are right now. We're going to get to the core of what Jesus has to say about who the Holy Spirit is. And we're going to learn, hopefully afresh and anew, some of the truths about how God wants to relate to us. So let's start in John chapter 14. We're going to look starting at verse 16 as Jesus is at his last meal with his followers before being crucified. John chapter 14, verse 16, he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." You may have helper, you may have comforter, you may have some other word there. Another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him. There it is. We have a hard time accepting the idea of the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Verse 20, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Skip down to verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now skip over to chapter 16 here just for a few verses. Chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 7. Jesus continues, but I tell you the truth. It is for your good. It's to your advantage that I go away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin. Or excuse me, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Verse 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, Jesus said, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and will make it known to you. Now, perhaps you come from a church culture that places great emphasis on the Holy Spirit, perhaps even overemphasis. Maybe you've been in a church like that, where people talk about the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And usually those sorts of churches don't just say Holy Spirit, they say the Holy Ghost, right? And there's all kinds of things that happen in churches and in traditions where people overemphasize the Holy Spirit. Perhaps you come from a tradition like I did, where we underemphasize this topic. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And we relate to the Holy Spirit much like I relate to my gallbladder. I know it's in there. I know it performs some sort of a function and has a purpose, but I'm not really clear on what it is, and I have no interaction with it on a daily basis. It just does what it does and just carries out its function. Good for my gallbladder. We know the Father. We know the Son. Who is this Holy Spirit? So because of this swinging pendulum of overemphasis and then underemphasis, there's a lot of people who say, well, then we need some balance. God wants us to have some balance. And my feeling is this, as I've been thinking about this, I don't think God's interested in balance. I think he wants us to be biblical. But when somebody says we should have some balance, what they're really saying is there's only so much of the Holy Spirit a person can have. There's only so much God that a person could have. That there's a point at which you and God could interact, and then God would be, okay, that's too much. Too much. Let's call a time out there. And I don't think that that's true either. How should we approach the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Jesus gives us an indication. The first thing I want you to know is that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. If you have notes in your bulletin, you can follow along. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not an impersonal force, despite what Obi-Wan Kenobi tried to instruct us in. The Holy Spirit is a he, or the Holy Spirit is a person. He has personhood. He has personality. How do we know that? Well, Scripture always refers to the Holy Spirit in personal pronouns. But on top of that, the Holy Spirit also has all the attributes that you and I would ascribe to personhood. The Holy Spirit has intellect. The Bible talks about the mind of the Spirit. Who knows the mind of the Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. So the Holy Spirit, because he has intellect, can speak his thoughts intelligibly to others. When people hear the voice of God or say, I really feel like God is telling me, they're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. He inspired people. 2 Peter chapter 1 says that men didn't come up with these prophecies on their own, but they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the author. So the Holy Spirit has intellect. The Holy Spirit also has emotion. Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit loves, but we can also grieve the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4 tells us. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. We grieve the Holy Spirit whenever God is trying to send us some sort of a message or get us to move in a certain direction, and we just go off on our own direction. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we know the way that we ought to go, and yet we go in the other way. We grieve the Holy Spirit any time that there's a breach in our relationship with one another. Anytime there's a breach in our family relationships, anytime there's a breach in our church relationships, the Holy Spirit is grieved anytime we don't get it when it comes to what matters most. In the church culture, sometimes we have the tendency to emphasize certain things that really shouldn't be emphasized, and they're not as important as other things. For instance, well, we should get together on Halloween, and we should, listen, we can do those sorts of things, but what really matters most is loving God and loving others all around us. Those sorts of things. I think the Holy Spirit is grieved whenever we sort of miss opportunities. I think the Holy Spirit is grieved anytime he places an opportunity right in front of us that he wants us to take advantage of. Maybe it's to have a spiritual conversation with somebody. Maybe it's a chance to love somebody even when it's inconvenient for us. And yet we say we're too busy, too tired, whatever. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit has intellect. The Holy Spirit has emotions. But the Holy Spirit also has a will. Just like a person. The Holy Spirit can do things on purpose. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts, spiritual abilities, supernatural abilities, as he sees fit, the Bible tells us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He prays for us. Romans 8 tells us, whenever you and I don't know how we ought to pray, maybe you've been there before, I don't know how to pray, it says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So the Holy Spirit has a will. He can be grieved, he can be resisted, he can be obeyed and followed. The Holy Spirit's a person. Second point, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God himself. We affirm as a church the deity of the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a lesser version of the Father and of the Son. The Holy Spirit is not a different version. It comes in a different form. The Holy Spirit is God in spirit form, just as Jesus was God in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is God in spirit form, maybe immaterial and intangible, and we can't relate to him like we would with our five senses. Nevertheless, he is still deity, fully God, God composed of three distinct persons, yet all fully and equally God. How do we know that? Well, throughout Scripture, we see God and the Holy Spirit, those terms used interchangeably. Also, just as the Holy Spirit has all the personality attributes that we would ascribe to a person, the Holy Spirit has all the attributes that we would ascribe to a deity. Is the Holy Spirit omniscient? Is he all-knowing? Absolutely. Who knows the mind of the Spirit? The Spirit knows all things. The Spirit knows what you think before you think it. He knows what you say before you say it. He knows when you sit, when you rise, as Psalm 139 tells us. He perceives our thoughts from afar. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, all-knowing, knows the past, knows the present, knows the future. You say, does the Holy Spirit know what's going to happen in my life? Absolutely, because he's omniscient. He's God. You would also expect, if the Holy Spirit's a God, if a deity, for the Holy Spirit to be omnipresent, everywhere at one time. Is the Holy Spirit present everywhere? Absolutely. The psalmist himself said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is not just omniscient, though, and omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipotent. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power of God himself. And we see this all throughout the book of Acts. When people are doing things that seem very powerful, who's doing those things? It's the Holy Spirit the whole way. The Holy Spirit's actively involved. What would change a person's heart, like Peter, who had publicly denied Jesus? What can change a person? The power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God himself. And the Holy Spirit is sovereign. He does whatever he pleases. He doesn't need your permission. He doesn't need my permission. The Holy Spirit's a person. The Holy Spirit's God. The third point that Jesus brings out here is that the Holy Spirit is our ever-present helper. The Holy Spirit is our ever-present helper. Just look at verse 17 there, again in chapter 14, where Jesus says, the Spirit of truth, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. How does the Holy Spirit help us? Well, this idea of the counselor, Jesus is saying, I'm a counselor, so there's going to be another counselor. That's how the Holy Spirit helps us. The question after Jesus said, hey, I'm leaving, all of a sudden, the question starts arising, well, who's going to help us? And Jesus is telling them, there will be another counselor. There will be another helper. And this word another is a powerful word in the Greek language because there's two different kinds of another's. There's another of a different kind or another of the same kind. And the word that's used here is it's another of the same kind. So Jesus is saying, just as I have been to you, so the Holy Spirit will be to you. He's another helper. He's another comforter. And the word that we have here in the Greek is paraclete. He's our paraclete. He helps us. He's our paraclete. What does that mean? He's not a parakeet. He's a paraclete. That literally means one who's called alongside of. He walks alongside of. Do any of you have another word, if you have your Bible open, other than comforter? That makes advocate. If he's a comforter, he sounds like he's a blanket. So I like that idea of like an advocate. If he's a counselor, is he like a camp counselor or like a marriage counselor? Like what kind of a counselor is he? Advocate's a good one. Any other words? Helper. Yeah, that's a good one. He's our paraclete. He's called alongside of us to help us, to advocate for us. You know who also did that? Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you another helper, another of the same kind, just as I have been with you. So the Holy Spirit will be with you. See, because here's the deal. You and I need the Holy Spirit with us wherever we go. Let's say that Jesus in the flesh walks in to our church service one of these days and he says, "Hey, I'd like to go home with one of you." Well, I'm the family pastor, so he's coming home with me. And when he's home with me in Sunnyvale, you don't want to hear that when you're in Palo Alto, he's tied up with me in Sunnyvale. When you're in South San Jose, you don't want to hear that he's dealing with somebody else's problems. This is why Jesus in chapter 16 said, "It's to your advantage that I go away." Jesus, listen, we would actually be worse off if Jesus were still here in the flesh. Sounds sacrilegious, but think about it. He could only be in one place at a time. He's still God, but he limited his deity in his humanity. So the Holy Spirit's coming to be with us. It's to our advantage that Jesus leaves. And we need the Holy Spirit's help in everything that we do. He's our paraclete, our helper, our defender, our advocate. He defends us against the enemy, Satan, because the enemy likes to lie to us. He likes to deceive us. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We are condemned. The Holy Spirit is our defender. How else does the Holy Spirit help us? Look down in verse 26. He says, "The counselor whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you." The Holy Spirit brings things to our remembrance. He reminds us of what we need to know. What do we need to be reminded of? For me personally, all year long, I've made it a daily choice to remember the gospel. I've been trying to think about what that means. The gospel is kind of one of these, you know, big words that we use in church all the time. The gospel is the good news about what Jesus did for us. And the gospel says to me, and this is what I remind myself of, that there's nothing I do that could make God love me anymore, and nothing I do that could make God love me any less. I need two things in life. I need two things in life. I need God's presence, and I need his acceptance. And I've got both of those, and I don't have to pray for them. They're already done. You can ask my kids, do I ever talk about this? Yes. I remind myself of this daily. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds me of this when I most need to hear it. The Holy Spirit reminds us of things. On a practical level, there have been plenty of times where I've forgotten things I need to remember, and the Holy Spirit helps me in those moments. Some of you have asked, "Steve, how do you prepare for a sermon? I know you don't use like a whole lot of notes." I do a lot of work. I can't speak for Pastor Dave or Pastor David, but I trust when I do the work that the Holy Spirit will inspire me in those moments. I don't say that to puff me up in any way. When we put in the work, God is able to remind us of what we need to know in that moment. And he's gracious. He's kind in that way. Some of you have told me, "Steve, I could never memorize scripture like kids can." You're essentially saying that the Holy Spirit's not able. When you say, I can't remember scripture," you're saying God's not big enough to be able to do that. He can create the world, but he can't help you to memorize a scripture. When you memorize a scripture, God can bring it to your remembrance, but he's not going to remind you of something you've never memorized in the first place. The Holy Spirit can bring things to our remembrance. What else does the Holy Spirit do? The very next verse, Jesus says he will give us peace. Peace, verse 27. The Holy Spirit gives us peace. Any of you need peace today? Man, how is it possible for a person who goes through trials and difficulty and challenges in their life to be able to have this peace that passes all comprehension and understanding only through the power of the Holy Spirit? How is it possible for these disciples, when Jesus was abandoning them, seemingly, to have peace? Because of the Holy Spirit. If you need peace, the Holy Spirit offers peace. And then in chapter 16, there are a couple more things that it says the Holy Spirit does. Verses 8 through 11 of chapter 16 says that the Holy Spirit convicts us. He convicts us. Now notice, it doesn't say that he condemns us. If you're condemned today, that's not from the Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, the Bible tells us. The Holy Spirit convicts us, or I like the word convinces. He convinces us of what we need to be convinced of. A couple things. One is that I was an expert when I was growing up, like when I was little, at getting lost. The thing is I never knew I was lost until somebody came and told me that I was lost. I needed to be convinced of that. So my mom would take me to department stores and things, and you know those round racks of clothes and things? I would hide in there, and then people would come grabbing things, and I would come jumping out at them. I took these little stick pins, and you know, like the upper layer of skin, like the top layer of skin, I would stick these pins through like my fingers and through like different parts of my body, and I would scare people. I was an expert at taking apart mannequins, and I would disassemble them, and I would take body parts to different people. I never knew I was lost until somebody said, "You're lost, aren't you?" And then once I realized, oh, I'm lost, or I'd hear my name on the loudspeaker, "Well, Steve Duran, please come," because that happened a few times. I needed somebody to take me back to my parents. It's a little bit like what the Holy Spirit does. He convinces us or convicts us and opens up our eyes to realize that apart from God, we can do nothing and that we are lost. The Bible says all of us are sheep that just go astray. We just wander. We just wander. We don't think we're lost. We don't think we need God. And then the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes and reminds us, oh, by the way, you're lost. And then we need somebody who can bring us back to the Father again. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us of sin in our lives. He convicts us of God's righteous standard and the fact that no matter how righteous you think you are, it's not good enough. It's not righteous enough. And you need somebody else to be a substitute on in your place. And that's what Jesus did. He convicts us of the coming judgment that's going to come one day. He convicts us of these things. He convinces us of these things. Verses 13 and 14 remind us that the Holy Spirit also has another benefit, though, and that he guides us into all truth. Any of you need guidance today for decision? Anybody need guidance as a parent? Anybody need guidance in your job? Anybody need guidance at school? Decision you need to make? God guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. It's a wonderful benefit. So we share all these things, and we talk about who the Holy Spirit is. So how do we experience the Holy Spirit? I like how Pastor Dave said it at the end of my message in the first service. How can we be present in the presence of the Holy Spirit, where we are aware of him? And there's no baggage that we bring with us, all these past things that we thought we've known about the Holy Spirit. We're able to just kind of leave that at the door and say, God, would you just come and show me more of who you are? That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You see, verses 14 and 15 tell us the purpose of the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? It's to shine a light on Jesus. It's to draw attention to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We were in, 2 weeks ago, I went with my eighth grade daughter, Raya, to the East Coast for the annual eighth grade trip that the LACS takes. And it's the second year in a row I've gotten to go. And I love seeing in Washington, D.C., all these great monuments and these things that you can see, especially like at night from far, far, far away. You see the Capitol, you see the Washington Monument, you see the Air Force Memorial, and these things that are just towering. And what enables you to be able to see it are these floodlights that are just, I can't even imagine how much money is spent on these floodlights to be able to show what these monuments and these incredible, impressive memorials. Nobody ever, though, goes up to these things and goes, boy, look at those floodlights. Look at those lights. What's the job of the floodlight? It's to show the memorial. It's to show the monument. It's to draw our attention elsewhere. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. Anytime you hear somebody emphasizing the Holy Spirit again and again and again, the Holy Spirit's has no desire to emphasize himself. He wants to emphasize Jesus and what Jesus did for you and for me. He's always pointing us to Jesus. So anytime you're trying to seek discernment, is this the Holy Spirit or not? Does it elevate Jesus? Does it glorify Jesus? That's probably the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I know if God really wants me to show kindness to this person over here? That sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. Yeah. See, the Holy Spirit never contradicts Scripture. So if you want to experience the Holy Spirit, you need to know what Scripture says. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Why do I bring up this idea of the Holy Spirit being a person and being God and being our ever-present helper? Because here's the deal. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, then you don't know God. If you forget or ignore the Holy Spirit, then you're forgetting or ignoring God. This is crucial. And there may be some of you here today, I don't know, that know about God, but you don't know God. And the Holy Spirit wants, he's drawing you. He wants you to call out to God and say, God, I want to know you more. The Holy Spirit is drawing you and trying to point you to Jesus and saying, you don't have to do it on your own. In fact, you can't do it on your own. But what Jesus did on the cross for you is sufficient. Now follow him. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. The Holy Spirit's a person. Well, big deal. Well, here's the deal. If we only relate to the Holy Spirit as a person, then we miss out on all the supernatural things that God wants to do in our lives. You and I are probably pretty adept at being able to do some things in our own strength and our own power. I bet if we turned you loose, that left to your own devices, you could be fairly successful in the eyes of the world. This is a very, very successful area. But you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit if all he is a person. But if all he is a power, then you miss the whole relationship thing that the Holy Spirit wants to give you as well. It's crucial that we get this right. It's crucial that we get this right. So here's, as I've been thinking about, how do we respond to something like this? I feel that there's more of God and of the Holy Spirit than any of us are currently experiencing. So why not ask? Jesus said, you know, if you as a father know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does the Lord love to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, when you receive Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit too. But we need to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to take a moment here to just, as we're going to continue in a time of worship, I'm going to ask Colin to get ready to come on up. He's going to lead us in a couple songs. We're just going to take a moment to just be silent, where you and the Lord can just have a moment together. And I invite you to just be quiet and still and to ask him to speak to you. You know, I've as a parent, I'm often thinking about things I want to get across to my kids and messages that I want them to have. Here's the deal. The Holy Spirit's a better teacher or parent than I could ever be. So, and the Holy Spirit's always speaking. It's the question is are we listening? So let's just be still for a moment. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to just speak to us. We're going to take some time to then worship together and really want us to be present in the Holy Spirit's presence. I think that that's part of what God desires for our life, that we would be aware of him, not just know about him, but that we would have communion with him, that we would have fellowship with him, we would have relationship, we would be aware of him, that we would draw upon his strength, we would draw upon his life, and we would be filled with the Spirit on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. So let's pray about that. Let's bow our heads. Just where you are, quietly, would you invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you? You invite the Holy Spirit to empower you. To invite the Holy Spirit to remind you of whatever he wants to remind you of. You ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you peace. You ask the Holy Spirit to glorify Jesus in your life, so that others may see who God is and what he's like, and know his love. Holy Spirit, you're already here. The presence of God with us, wherever we go. And I pray that we would be just blown away by that truth, changed completely. And as we continue in this time of worship, God, would you draw us closer to you? May we sing not just words of truth, but may we sing with our spirit too. with energy, with a fervent desire to elevate Jesus. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. In your name we pray. Amen.